Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Thank you, Dave. 9:10 on this Friday morning. See a tweet from the Causeway, and Courtney may have mentioned it, but I wasn't listening. Sorry. The Causeway Maintenance Department conducting a bridge cleaning on the Causeway North Brown Bridge in a left lane. Please use caution in the area and merge into the right lane. Be aware of that. It is Friday morning, first Friday of the year. Ian McNulty joins us now, our good friend who covers food and dining culture for the New Orleans. Let me see what your title here. Covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. How you doing, Ian?
Tommy, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me, as always, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. I want to get your thoughts because you love this city as much as anybody does. And although not technically a local, you have certainly earned your local stripes. Just your thoughts on what happened, and especially when it comes to the French Quarter restaurant community, the eating and drinking area, et cetera, those kind of things.
Sure, Tommy. You know, the French Quarter is symbolic. You know, I mean, it's the reason why national coverage, whether it's a big football game or whatever's happening, you know, they focus on the French Quarter. There's always a shot of Bourbon Street and the shot of lovely, quiet Royal Street. It is the hub of hospitality, and New Orleans is a hospitality town. You know, I mean, we always encourage people, visitors, you know, don't just have your whole trip be in the French Quarter. Please get out into the different neighborhoods around town, get up to City Park, Garden District, River Bend, go to these neighborhood restaurants, you know, see all of New Orleans. But the French Quarter is the heart of it. You know, it's the thing that brings all of us together. We go down there for parades. We go down there for Mardi Gras. We go down there to these restaurants that feel like extensions of our family traditions, you know, the old Grand Dames. We go down there for cool bars that make us feel like the French Quarter is our neighborhood, too. You know, it's a vastly important place, and it's symbolic. And that's the reason why it was selected for this act of evil. Because it would make a big impression, a French Quarter, Bourbon Street. I think it's up to us as New Orleanians to reclaim the symbolism of it. And we can do that very easily by practicing our lifestyle of hospitality, of our joy of food and drink, by getting out there and supporting the great places that we have in the French Quarter. This isn't just, okay, tragedy happens, you're opening up your wallet. Yes, maybe part of it, but it really is reclaiming that the cultural core of our city as a place where New Orleanians celebrate and rejoice, not a place for these, acts of evil. And, I say it over and over again, if you want to partake in the New Orleans lifestyle, a really genuine, easy way to do that, gratifying way to do that, is go see the pros who kind of set up the cultural framework for all this stuff to happen, the restaurants and the bars. And Tommy, that's exactly what I did yesterday. You know, I went downtown. I decided I was going to spend the whole day in the French Quarter. I was working, was on the clock, was working on stories, helping out my colleagues who are burning it at both ends, NOLA.com, Times-Picayune, to cover this thing in all of the news angles you can think of and really digging deep. And I'm just blown away by the effort they put into it. And it's incredible. Just go to NOLA.com and see the literally hundreds of stories that my colleagues have put out on this since it occurred. But I spent the day just kind of soak in the French Quarter and see it kind of come back to life. And I started in the morning. I went by one of my favorite little breakfast spots in the French Quarter. It's called Mina's Palace on Charter Street. It's one of those old-fashioned French Quarter restaurants that makes it feel like a neighborhood joint. You know, it's a breakfast and lunch cafe run by a Greek family. There's no Greek food on the menu. It's all New Orleans, but they may have a bottle of ouzo behind the bar. Also a breakfast and lunch restaurant with a full bar. Just think about that. Walk down the streets, just seeing the light change in the French Quarter as the day begins, seeing the Leidenheimer bread truck make the rounds. And all this, meanwhile, is while Bourbon Street was still shut down, was still cut off. But as sort of luck and maybe a little intuition, reporter's intuition would have it, I was in the right spot at Bourbon and Canal when Superintendent Fitzpatrick said I declare Bourbon Street open, was there to walk down Bourbon Street when they had just officially opened it. And one of the, we take a look at what the new barriers that they put up. I'm sending photos to my news colleagues so they can see it all. And then I snap into, Ian, the food writer mode, and start visiting restaurants. And Tommy, an extremely moving moment happened. And if you want to see a visual on it, you can go to my Instagram at Ian McNulty. NOLA is probably the easiest place to find it. It's also attached to a story on NOLA.com, and I believe it's in the print edition of our paper today. But this photo I was able to snap, didn't see it coming. Bourbon Street is very slowly coming back to life. It's for the first, 20 minutes or so, it's probably like 2-to-1 news professionals and military and police professionals to actual visitors. That quickly changed. It filled in. But in that one moment where the street was just starting to trickle back to life, I watched the staff at Felix's Oyster Bar walk outside. Their manager, Javeri, was organizing them. She put up a platter with 14 candles. You can assume the symbolism there. She put that on the sidewalk, and they all joined hands, Tommy. They gathered around it, and under a balcony lined with American flags, they had a short prayer session, group prayer, for the people who were lost and the faith and the will to move forward. And it was very touching, and it stopped me in my tracks. Check out the picture. It's really gotten it really hits home, I think. And
it does, and I saw it actually on TV as it was unfolding. Ian, yeah. And it was, to me, it was just perfect. It was just perfect. I don't know. I can't add anything to it. It was just perfect.
It was a moment of heart and soul and hospitality, right? These are people who are getting ready to start up the machine again. They're going to serve po' boys and open oysters and pour beers and host, this is on Bourbon Street. They're going to be hosting a lot of visitors, and there are a lot of visitors in town for Sugar Bowl. And then they just took time as New Orleanians to do what they do, join hands, be a community, think about other people, and then get to work. And, directly across the street, Galatoire's restaurant, the waiters and the staff there, they were all ready to go. They were there in their tuxedos. As soon as people started walking down the street, they're opening the doors for them. I mean, it was the same kind of scene all across the French Quarter. I spent, most of the day there, and then Tommy went home, did some work, on a proper laptop, charged the phone again, and went right back down. And we basically did a bar hop, kind of a restaurant bar hop of a few different places. I couldn't decide on one restaurant to go to, so I wanted to go to a bunch of them, that had been closed on New Year's Day and were able to get back open. Stopped in at Redfish Grill right there at the gateway of Bourbon Street, Ralph Brennan's seafood restaurant, had their fabulous barbecue fried oysters, a glass of wine that I can describe only as Bourbon Street size. This is a glass of wine that came with a sidecar. Next, over to Arno's, not for a formal dinner, but just to have a fabulous cocktail at the French 75 bar. And then up the street to Jewel of the South, a much more modern restaurant that's been getting a lot of national acclaim for a couple small plates and a cocktail. And the knowledge that the Jewel of the South team, big kudos to them, they decided, they were debating whether to open or not yesterday, whether to give it another day off. They decided to open and make a fundraiser for the New Orleans New Year's Day Tragedy Fund through the Greater New Orleans Foundation. So here's a business that had to close on an extremely busy day, New Year's, but decided the day they were going to get back open, they're going to give it to others. And, that's New Orleans hospitality right there in a glass.
You know, I said earlier, Ian, and I can't speak for the families of the people who were injured or killed or for them, obviously, but it would. I can only speak for myself. If that were to happen to me, or and Jason Williams said he had a son that was 20 years old and that was on Bourbon Street at 2 a.m. and thankfully was had gone home by then, college-age son, doing what he was supposed to be doing, not anything wrong or anything. But he had, just as a parent and as an official, I found it interesting to hear him say that. But I tried to put myself in that position, and as heartbreaking losing an adult child is or would be, if my kid was out partying on Bourbon Street, and not that my kid does do that because he lives in North Louisiana. It's a long story anyway, but the point is this. I don't think the people that were out there enjoying themselves would want Bourbon Street shut down as a memorial. I think the greatest tribute you can pay to them is to maintain the vitality of the street, maintain the vitality of the quarter, and everything it is that attracted them there in the first place. Do you think I'm off base here?
No, I do not. Absolutely not. I mean, it is the whole picture of the French Quarter to me, and New Orleans, really. I mean, the French Quarter is the anchor for our hospitality community. And, you know, one way or the other, it's what people come to see. If they're going to be asked about it when they go home. Did you see Bourbon Street? Did you go to the French Quarter? How was it? They can say, yes, but we found this amazing restaurant uptown. Or, boy, you got to cross the river to Algiers. Or, man, the Bayou St. John's, where it's at. But at some point or other, you know, everybody who visits New Orleans, you know, the French Quarter and Bourbon Street are going to be some part of it. They play some role in it. But what I'm really interested in right now for us and for our audience here was the role that it plays for locals. I mean, walking around the French Quarter yesterday, I was recounting, you know, times that I go down there, whether it's, you know, to visit one of the restaurants you can only find in the French Quarter, go to one of the bars, the music venues. If I have people in from out of town, I kind of have a little tour my own ad hoc walking tour. I've got the little, not shortcuts, long cuts that I take because I know they're going to be the most picturesque. You know, I know I'm going to lead people down Exchange Alley. I know I'm going to take them down Pirates Alley. I think about you would have to have blinders bigger than those carriage mules not to see the problems, the deficiencies, and the warts of the French Quarter, which are numerous and need to be addressed. But it is the enduring beauty, and it is the personality of that place that still makes it so compelling. You know, that's what I love about it, and it's the restaurants and the bars and the clubs that really kind of open the door to it all and give it a framework for going down there and exploring it and walking the streets and, you know, measuring your pace around the neighborhood by go cups and watching the other people and seeing what other locals you run into. I mean, that was the story of that's the story of the French Quarter. It's a magnificent place. It's ours. And this is a time when we need to stand up for it and reclaim it.
I refuse to live my life in fear, and again, I said that earlier this morning. I refuse to live my life in fear, and whether it's crime or whether it's terrorism, whatever it is, I refuse to let anybody else dictate what I do. That's just the way I am, and I think it's the way you are as well, McNulty. Maybe half nuts, maybe hard-headed, I don't know what it is, but I refuse to do that. I will not be bullied, and I think when you live your life afraid, when you say, oh, Lord, I this might happen or that might happen, then you're succumbing to bullies, which is what criminals are, which is what terrorists are. That's not to say that you don't have to be smart, but what are you going to do, wave the white flag and surrender? I don't think so, at least not me.
I'll tell you another thing I love about the French Quarter, Tommy, is the dichotomy of it all, right? It is, you're talking about the idea of class and trash, you know, like a great mm-hmm. night out. Sometimes for me, class and trash, going to a really nice restaurant, and kind of a wonderfully tattered dive bar, or, you know, flip it, go to a Greasy Spoon or a strip mall joint, and then, you know, do it up with a fine cocktail later or before or whatever. It's just that, it's that feel of, like, you know, both sides of the coin that is so New Orleans, that New Orleans does so well. And that is one of just the defining dichotomies of the French Quarter, I think. And it plays out in so many ways there. I love it. You know, it's people, you know, getting dressed up, going out with their family to Antoine's, Galatoire's, Arnaud's, and then ended up at the old Absinthe bar with their arm on the rail, you know, watching the people stroll past. They're going over to Harry's Corner Bar around the corner from the oldest cathedral in the side of North America. I mean, it's all right there. It's everywhere. And lately, another one that I really like in the French Quarter is this kind of dichotomy between the very old and the new and the modern. And, you know, they're all occupying the same space, this iconic French Quarter space with all these, you know, the architecture, the balconies, the courtyards. But you've got these, like, kind of classic old-school places, the Grand Dames I just mentioned. Grand Dames, excuse me. You've got, like, kind of the Dickie Brennan's restaurants, Ralph Brennan's restaurants, Napoleon House, Mr. B's, kind of the fundament of these things, Bayona. And then you've got, like, this new generation who is really expressing their view of hospitality, New Orleans hospitality, in the same, you know, architecture, the same framework, Palm and Pine, Jewel of the South, I mentioned, Will in the Way, this great place on Jackson Square called Fives, Oyster Bar with fabulous cocktails. And you see what the other, the next generation is doing with the cultural inheritance they have of the French Quarter and making it relevant for their generation. And I that's exciting to me because that's the kind of thing that's going to bring New Orleans people into the Quarter too, not just to, you know, go to the same old places they've always gone to, even though they love Fat O'Brien's, will always go there once a year with their friends or whatever. But because really these places, ones I just mentioned and a bunch more, Manolito, Sylvain, have Cane and Table, kind of have the pulse of modern New Orleans hospitality, and they want to check it out. And so that's all happening right there in the French Quarter right now, and it's ours to support and uplift.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Ian McNulty's our guest, 925. We'll get into some of the restaurant stories of 2024, some of the things to look ahead to in 2025. As always, the Oakwinard Jeweler Talk and Text Line is open at 504-260-1870. Ifin, you had a question about eating or drinking for Ian McNulty. McNulty, real quick, I'm presuming that you were pulling for the Irish yesterday or not?
Oh, I had a dog in both fights, no pun intended, to my Georgia friends, but you know, there was a little part of me smiling at the shock.
Yeah, I thought those Irish eyes may be. We'll be back, WWL. 9:30, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ian McNulty, as we always do. Ian, earlier I spoke with Melvin Rodrigue, president of Galatoire's, who also lives in the Quarter, and, you know, they're up and running and everything, and I asked about, and I thanked him for what they do at Galatoire's, and I also thanked the Legers again, because they took me to my first Friday afternoon at Galatoire's last year. I think it was in the spring, and I will be back this year. For people that don't know, and Galatoire's doesn't need the publicity, but I was trying to explain it in my best way. How would you describe a Friday afternoon at Galatoire's, especially a Friday afternoon, what people are going to see there, and the importance I think it is, what's waiting for every New Orleanian to at least spend one Friday afternoon at Galatoire's?
Well, Tommy, it's a tableau of New Orleans life is what it is. I mean, yeah, these restaurants of that vintage, it's not just how old they are. It's the way that New Orleans people have poured their traditions and celebrations and enthusiasms and passions, crazy misplaced passions, right, that we have in New Orleans with the priority that we give to living life instead of just, you know, what they do in more economically functional cities. All of this gets poured into these restaurants, and Galatoire's is the perfect tableau of it. You know, on a Friday in particular, you know, the Friday idea there is you're probably not going back to the office to finish up the afternoon after this lunch. You know, the Friday lunch is busier than any dinner service. There's more drinks flowing, there's more wine going around. It's about the meal, certainly, but it's about being there. Very frequently it seems to resemble a giant cocktail party where people, you know, sit down and tuck into their meals, but then really want to circulate and play with each other. I mean, it's a New Orleans playfulness, you know, wrapped up in this upscale historic restaurant with food that shows you what happened when French cooking of the 1800s made it to the Gulf Coast. You know, that's basically what it is, and it's a joy.
And the thing that struck me about it is I always thought that, and I have friends, attorneys, that spend just about every Friday at Galatoire's, that you had to be a member of the club to appreciate it. And you really don't. It's open to everybody. That's what I think I loved about it most and surprised me the most.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, these places, they belong to New Orleans, you know? I mean, there's certain protocols, rules, and people at places have their regulars. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole idea. These aren't private clubs. They're open hospitality settings. Now, you look around the room and you'll see, you know, somebody who's clearly from out of town, maybe a solo traveler, maybe did not know that he had booked a table for one at a restaurant that was going to burst into a very loud cocktail party where occasionally a brass band might come in to serenade somebody on her birthday. And the next Bentwood chair might be pressing up against yours because they've got so many people jammed into the room. But for those in the know, that's all part of the deal. It's the kind of place that does reward more frequent visits as you get to know the rhythm and the traditions of the place and make your own traditions around it.
Well, it's context, right? I mean, you know what's going on. Just like you might not know what the hell's going on the first time you go to Paris, but the third time you've been there, you get it.
Precisely.
Yeah. For people, since we're on this and we got about 5 minutes left here, give me some bucket list items in New Orleans restaurants, some experience that you would recommend locals put on their list for 2025.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Friday lunch at Galatoire's is huge, but it doesn't have to be at Galatoire's necessarily. You know, I mean, that is a tradition that lives in a lot of different restaurants and can be sort of made your own if you're prioritizing other things besides being in that specific room, you know. One thing I love about Antoine's down the street is, well, two things. There's the big main dining rooms, but then there's all those smaller dining rooms, and those are available. Those, you know, they have different carnival crews attached to them and whatnot, and yeah, during carnival season it gets a little tight, but with a group, you can get one of those rooms, and it's a very different dining experience from just making a reservation and walking in, because now you've got sort of a waiter in charge of your room, and it's almost like you're having your own private banquet. And on the other side of the coin, I mean, Antoine's is the oldest restaurant in New Orleans.
That would be another one that I would say definitely you want to put on your list.
Yeah. You can walk in anytime to the bar, to the Hermes Bar, and have a drink and order food off the menu and just get a taste of it, get a look at it, you know, get your drink and like wander around into the dining room, soak up the history. It's a very accessible way to do that without the whole shebang. Let's go on the other side of the page. Take the ferry over the river to Algiers. Algiers is, they don't have the historic restaurants over there that we're talking about in the French Quarter, but here's a deeply historic neighborhood that has a fun and growing restaurant scene. The ferry ride is part of it. You're crossing the magnificent Mississippi River, you're stepping off, and you're walking into a couple of the restaurants that they have right there at the ferry landing. There's a great pizza place, great spot for pizza and cocktails called Nighthawk, and right next to that is the Dry Dock Cafe, kind of like a throwback to the old riverfront days in Algiers for gumbo and beer, and just having a walk along the levee top afterwards and taking the ferry back. I mean, that's huge right there. There's the walking in the French Quarter yesterday. Of course, the lines formed up at Café du Monde and Café Beignet, another popular place down there for the beignets. And I know, beignets, tourists, you wear black, you cover with sugar. It's kind of a cliche. But I'm telling you, every time I take visitors to the Café du Monde in City Park, big hit. It's a very different vibe. It's the same food. But you're in beautiful City Park, looking at the lagoons, looking out for alligators and egrets in the little waterway that's trickling past. You can participate in a little beignet tasting by going just maybe a mile away. The Morning Call on Canal Street, surrounded by cemeteries where the streetcars come turning in. How fun is that? You know, I mean, you can do your own little beignet taste test within a mile of each other. Where else are you going? You're getting a muffalata from Central Grocery, which has reopened. And Central Grocery muffalatas have always been available through different retail outlets, and the long hiatus when it was closed. But there's nothing like getting it from the source, going in there, seeing the place, having them make it for you right there, and walking out with your whole muffalata stacked up. They travel well. You bring them home. You cut them up. You have a party. It's good for, you know, one of these playoff games that the Saints aren't going to be in. And let's face it, the food's going to be more important for football fans.
You know what else you're doing? I'll tell you what else you're doing, because I had a conversation with some people yesterday. We were going to the Sugar Bowl as I was walking down Poydras Street. I told them to go to Katie's. That's on the list. You need to go to Katie's. If you've not been, I think you need to go to Parkway Po' Boys. You need to Google it as Poor, P-O-O-R, because that's the way you know, Jason. They do a great job over there. And then you need to go to Bricado's and do the thing where you go have a po' boy at Parkway and then go have dessert at Bricado's and have a cup of, what do you call it, espresso, and sit there in a nice little area that they have there and enjoy your piece of whatever it is and your coffee. And that's a very low-cost, iconic New Orleans experience, I think. Thoughts?
Absolutely. That's great. I mean, Bricado's is the finish line for so many of these things. We talked about the class and trash idea. That's more like fire and ice. You know, you get some this good fire New Orleans food, and then cool it off with a cup of gelato and some espresso. You know, Venezia's and Angelo Bricado's is the classic pairing for that, because they're it's a well trodden path of the sidewalk between the two. Along the same lines, something you and I have talked about before for a good date night is what I call the Dryad's Double. You get the oyster bar at Pascal's Manali, and you put it on the heel and toe or just a block away, follow the neon down to Charlie's Steakhouse for a T-bone and a martini and a wedge salad. And you're living right there, brother.
Somebody said there's a new restaurant, texted in, Ian, I don't know if you've been there or not, in the old Whitney Bank building, and they gave me my first signature loan to buy an engagement ring when I was in high school, when I was in college, and I'll never forget. Anyway, The Vault. Do you know anything about that?
The Vault? Oh, interesting. No, it's a new one on me. I like the name, though. I wonder if we're talking about the one down on Poydras Street.
No, I'm talking about in Algiers Point.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, great. No, fabulous. No, that's a new one on my list. I like the sound of that, though. These old bank buildings make fantastic restaurant settings.
Yeah, because they had one on Poydras, right? Wasn't that a restaurant for a while, or at least next to the bank?
Yeah, on Poydras and Magazine. It's a hotel now. It's been a number of different restaurants. The one I remember most was 58, and that was a reference to the ideal cellaring temperature of wine. It was run by Minh Bui, a Vietnamese chef of long standing, who has Cafe Minh up in Mid-City, which is a great hidden gem, by the way, if you're ever looking for a fine dining, a little bit off the beaten path, a little quieter place. Always very solid there.
Ian McNulty, a pleasure as always. Here's a great 2025. It is going to be a great 2025 for the city. Monday morning, you got King Cake starting on King's Day. My friend, thank you. Happy 2025. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Happy New Year, Tommy. Always great to be with you.
Same to you, sir. We'll take a break. Come back right now, 941, 19 till 10, traffic, WWL. 16 till 10, 15 till 10, quarter till 10, Friday morning, brand new year, January 3rd. We all continue to recover after what happened horrifically in the French Quarter on early morning hours of January 1st. The investigation continues. JR joins us now with Taking Vegas. Talk about some weekend winners. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing great, and first, I'd really like to send out thoughts and prayers to everyone in the New Orleans area. I mean, when I heard what happened, the horrificness of what took place on New Year's at around 3 in the morning, it's just downright horrific and disgusting, and I am just appalled. I will say, love to see the community coming together, and especially in New Orleans. You guys have been through so much in such a short period of time. Thoughts and prayers, like I said, go out to everybody in your area.
Evil exists, and I think, JR, just personally, that you can't give in to it. You got to stand up to it, and that's just the way
that's
I'm
right.
wired. Let's talk about the NFL and surprises so far this season, and some of the things that went the way you thought they were going to go.
Well, I mean, listen, the NFL right now is so up in the air. There's so many things that need to happen for certain teams to get in and, you know, certain teams that are going to be on the outside looking in. So here's what you want to do. First off, big matchup obviously happening tomorrow in your neck of the woods. I'm going to give you that winner absolutely free as usual. And we're talking about the Bucs and the Saints matchup. This game is going to be taking place.
JR, you're like,
the line on the game is 14 points.
You're like I am. You so messed up. It's Sunday, right? The game is Sunday, not tomorrow?
That game is Sunday, correct.
Yeah, January. Okay.
Did I say tomorrow?
Yeah, you're like me, but nobody knows. It's the 3rd of January. It's
Let me tell you something. I woke up this morning and didn't even realize it was Friday.
That's what I'm saying.
It got me so messed up.
That's the only reason I interrupted you. The game is Sunday. Go ahead, sir. Uninterrupted, please.
You got it. So Saints-Bucks Sunday matchup, I'm giving it to you today. It's absolutely free. You get it via text message. All you got to do, text the word WIN to 545454. I'll let you know whether or not the Saints will cover that 14 points or not. Again, the Bucks are at home, minus 14 on Sunday at noon Central Time. You get this game free when you text the word WIN, W-I-N, to the number 545454. Give it a try. Let us show you how to make money, guys. Real tough week for you to try to figure this stuff on your own.
You manage information for a living. That's what you do. Not just information in terms of who's in, who's out, but also in terms of the way money moves and institutional money. Just take us through that, if you can, JR, what it is that you do. And how hard is it at this time of year with injuries and who's out, incentives, this, that, the other thing, resting players, playing players, got to win to get in, to all of that stuff?
You know, it's funny because I'm going to sound like a successful quarterback right now because it's the truth, though. Without my team, I would not be able to do what I've been doing. I mean, I've delivered to you guys on air this year so far, free on air, 14-4, right? Mm-hmm. That's where we stand.
I've done
that just about every year. I can't do that without the resources and the experience that are just under this roof here. Forget about all the calls I got to make throughout the week and all the people I need to speak to find out the things, you know, in order to make the decisions that we make. But right here in-house, I have over 300 years of experience. I hold 30 of them myself right here under my roof. So we're a very close-knit group. I only deal with the best of the best, guys that are literally at the top of their game, and we spend resources where we know we're not wasting it. And, you know, you got to break things down and look at, like, what you just said. I love the fact that you're using my terminology, that institutional money.
Mm-hmm.
Institutional money represents very big bets, not necessarily coming in from individuals, but a lot of it coming in by proxy. And what I mean by that is a lot of these groups that move big money, they can't do it individually. They need to have people move it for them. And so you got to see the money come in droves. You start to see it pour in, and if you're looking at the wrong websites or if you're not looking at the proper, you know, information, you can be driven astray. And, you know, being that we do this for a living, we know what sites are right. We know where to look for the information that, you know, we need to be able to make decisions with, right? So, and it's not just being able to just follow one thing. Like, we used to talk about reverse line movements. We would talk about big money coming into games. All of that needs to be put into the pot in order for it to be able to, you know, to brew properly. You can't just say, okay, I see a reverse line movement, I'm going to go jump on it. Those have become few and far between or not covering nearly as much because too many people started talking about it. As soon as you think you have a system in the NFL, it's no longer a system, period. That's just the way it's always been. So if you want to do things right, especially this week, there's so much on the line, like I just said a moment ago. Ravens win, I mean, they're minus 20. That line, think about this. The line on the Ravens-Browns game, it's up to 20. That game is going tomorrow. The total on that game is 41. They're telling you the Ravens should win this game by 20 points, but there's only going to be 41 points scored in the entirety of that game. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't understand implications, you're going to get lost in the shuffle. I mean, even last week, I unfortunately lost a big game last week, and I talk about losing. You know, it's not one of those things where we win every single game. Out of the 17 weeks or 18 weeks, if you include week zero of college football, we've only had four losing weekends out of 18. Pretty incredible, okay? Last week, I did not have such a horrible weekend, but I lost one game that I really thought I was going to win, and that was the Indianapolis Colts. How the New York football Giants go out there and win that game when they were holding the first pick in their hand. I'm not saying they should have taken a dive, but if I was one of the guys at the top, think play calling would have been a little bit differently, and I don't think I would have looked to get that. And shame on the Indianapolis Colts, who were holding their own fate and lose to the lowly New York Giants. It was really one of those games that even nipped me in the bud. So, again, if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're looking at, it can be a real scary place week 18 in the NFL. But I could tell you now, we have a few of them that I know. I mean, we're looking at everything the right way and through the proper lens. I'm going to sweep the board this weekend in the NFL, and I'm willing to give you the point spread winner of that Saints-Bucks game for free when you text the word WIN. That's W-I-N to the number 545454.
How long, JR? Tell me about the your free pick this week, because you are 18-4, is it, I think? And that's a four. What is it, Tim? 14-4. That's right. There's only 18.
14
weeks,
and
what
four.
I'm talking about. 14-4, which is a phenomenal record, because a lot of so-called handicappers, they call 50-50 good, which is the same as flipping a coin. 14-4 is phenomenal. Tell me what you got for us this week.
Well, with sports handicapping, first of all, 53% breaks you even, because remember, and that's only on an average juice or VIG
that's
of
right.
minus 110, you got to hit 53%, right?
Gotcha.
So, yeah, to be able to hit the percentage that we are, and we do it consistently year after year right here on air, you don't realize what you got, guys, I guess is what I'm going to tell you. So I've got something this week that I think, again, another one that you can take to the bank. There was another game I really wanted to use. That was going to be the Dolphins-Jets game, but until I know whether or not Tua is going to play with that hip injury or if it's going to be Tyler Huntley, I don't want to put my reputation on that game. So we're going to take a skip and go right over to the Commanders-Cowboys, where I really like the over in this matchup. They'll be playing this game in Jerry World at the Dallas Cowboys. The line on the matchup is 44. The game itself is minus 6 Commanders, but I really like the over. I think there'll be quite a bit of scoring on both sides of the football. I look for them to get over that 44 points by about the beginning of the fourth quarter. Last week I told you under in that Saints-Raiders game, which looked real ugly at halftime. It was under 38. I think they had 25 points at half. Couldn't get more than 13 in the second half. We wound up getting that W to put us at that 14-4 mark. So take this one to the bank, guys. Go over 44 in that Commanders-Cowboys matchup.
I know it's early, and I'm not holding you to this, but can anybody stop Ohio State at this point in the college football playoffs?
You know, I got to tell you, man, I was really impressed with Notre Dame yesterday. I don't know if you watched that game.
I was there.
That was one. I guess you were. That was the Sugar Bowl. The way Marcus Freeman has this team playing right now is, the defense is swarming, absolutely swarming. And being an independent and playing all over the place kind of puts them up in the air. And for Notre Dame to be good, it's great for college football. But Ohio State, you're absolutely right. They played absolute lights out. But they played against an Oregon team that looked like they never got off the bus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, tough to say. I mean, I do think that it's going to be I love this new playoff, by the way. I think it's great for college football. It's given us some really good games. But if there's one team that can slow them down right now, the only one I'm going to say that I'd be on the lookout for is going to be the Notre Dame and the Fighting Irish.
I love the fact that Ryan Day was on the outs with the Ohio State fans after he lost to Michigan for, what, how many years? But now not so much.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, oh man, talk about the hot seat. They were ready to already toss him out in the middle of the season, and here they are almost ready to play for a national championship. It's the craziness of college and pro football. It's insane, but that's what makes it so great, and that's what keeps us coming back every year and putting our money on the line, isn't it?
It is. Take us out, JR.
Guys, it's about making money, right? It's about great strategy. And if you got the mindset of a businessman, if you think that you've got the discipline that it takes, I'd really like to show you how to take your entertainment to a higher level. Using only the money that you'd be playing around with and turning it into something really significant is the name of the game. It starts with this free pick that I'm going to give you via text message. So all you got to do is text the word WIN, W-I-N, to the number 545454. That's step one. You're going to get a text message with the winner, point spread winner of the Bucks-Saints game, absolutely free. From there, sign up with us, guys. It's very inexpensive to get involved. Having an expert in your corner will show you how to do this the right way, and we'll make sense of it for you. So again, text the word WIN to 545454, and Happy New Year to everybody, and once again, thoughts and prayers to the horrificness of what happened, and let's stay strong, be safe, have fun, and go out there and make some money.
Thank you, JR. Free pick, Commanders Cowboys, over 44. Back in a flash, WWL.